Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, happy Thursday, and I hope you are enjoying the last full week of July. I can't believe it. It's almost August. It's been hot enough for August, though, let me tell you that. But it is 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern, and you know what time it is. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, like a Mack truck through ice cream, if Kalen were here, he'd have a better sound effect for us. But anyway, check us out at p4pmuscle.com, and now let's talk. I am Desiree Fletcher, and my hashtag PIC, partner in crime, Kalen Patterson, is hustling to join the show. He's teaching VBS and working with the kiddos and helping them feel a little more positive, a little more enlightened, and all in all, just feeling better about life. And so he'll be joining us shortly. And we have a great show tonight. And actually, you know, I've been talking about it's 2 years. It's our two-year anniversary in July. And I'm pretty sure within those 2 years, we have never had a photographer on the show. And tonight, we have a photog on the show, and not just any photog, but before I get into that introduction, if you missed us earlier this week, I want to really encourage everyone to go check out the archives and look for the interview with the Lemkes, and great, great interview about love, relationships, marriage, competing, and just some tricks of the trade on keeping all of that together. So for all of you couples out there that are prepping together, or you're not prepping, but your loved one is, it's just a good show for you guys to listen to, take away some tips. Also, they reference some awesome protein donuts on the show. And guess what? I have the recipe. I have the recipe, and I'm going to be posting it to Midwest Muscle. So if you're wanting to check that out, give me until tomorrow. Let's say Friday morning I'm going to have it out there. But it's very simple. It looks like it's way easy. The hardest part of it all might be finding a donut pan. And I'm not even really quite sure what that looks like. But, hey, if you find one, post some pics so I know what it is that I'm looking for, because I want to try these bad boys out myself. So back to the matter at hand. Titian Day. If you don't get photos, did it really happen? I mean, that's kind of the gist of what some of us think. It's kind of like also going to the gym. If you don't take a selfie, did it really happen? It's that capturing of the moment in print or digital, as it is most of the time these days, that really drives home the essence of the experience that you had. And it drives home, captures it, all of those things. And so tonight we have Scott Diesler with Liquid Spectrum, and a lot of you may be familiar with them because Scott and his crew make it around to a lot of shows. They do a wonderful job, captured some great moments at competitions, and tonight Scott is joining us to share a few tricks of the trade to get the most out of your time on stage for those pictures that you're buying to, document your day that day. So if you're going to invest in the pictures, you might as well, take a couple of minutes joining us, listen in, and figure out how to get the best picture possible. Scott, thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Love it. So as I was saying, in 2 years, we've never had a photographer on the show before, and now we've got you. Why don't you go ahead and give listener land a little more details about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, well, technically, I think you could probably say, even after this, that you haven't had a photographer on. I think the most interesting thing after I meet people is that I'm not a photographer in my day job. I'm a software engineer. I've been doing that for, too long. I'd have to tell you how old I am if I said that. And I started competing. I didn't even know about this sport back in the day. Well, I didn't know about it. I didn't know that somebody my size could compete in such an event. And I stumbled on it in, I think, probably late 2009, and started competing myself in 2010. You build relationships in the sport, as I'm sure you know. And I had a camera. I liked playing with my camera and photography and whatnot. So I'd bring it to shows once in a while. I'd take pictures of some of my friends competing. And they were telling me that the shots they were getting from me were better than the ones they were buying from the official photographer. I should get into it and do these shows officially. So, you know, I kind of laughed that off for a while. But ultimately, one of my friends, actually, Matt Jackson, let me shoot the Heartland Classic down in Nebraska. Can't remember what year that was. That had to have been 40 years ago. And that was the first show that I ever was the official photographer at. And things just kind of took off from there. And to the extent, I live in Minnesota, and to the extent that there was one year in there where I shot every show in Minnesota from every federation that was putting on a show in Minnesota. And there were shows outside of Minnesota that I was shooting that year too. So we backed it down a little bit from there. So I'm not as busy, since, like I said, this isn't even my day job. But it gets pretty busy in the spring and the fall, especially traveling a lot. We started traveling quite a bit more the last couple of years, in Kansas City now, and St. Louis. And I think I've covered shows in five or six different states from five or six different federations, I think. So, we've definitely gotten around. And now I kind of got the ball rolling, but my brother also shoots at a lot of these events with me, and we got in a video a couple of years ago, and my wife stands behind the camera. I've had my nephew behind the video camera a few times. My sister-in-law helps out sorting all the photos and kind of manning our booth. If we have one at an event, we'll have all four of us there. If it's a big show, and smaller shows, it's usually just two of us that go out.
Wow, that's quite the family affair. And I have to say, I'm just going to back up for just a second, but so you start with just one show, being a relative unknown except for, you know, the connections that you've made as an athlete. And then the next thing you know, you're shooting every show in a state for that entire competitive year. So word of mouth must have spread pretty quickly. I mean, what was the journey like to get established and then kind of just be the known brand for photography, at least in the Midwest, for competitive bodybuilding?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I worked at it initially. You know, I figured once I got into it, you know, we set out to, my brother and I set out to do some of these shows in order to buy more camera gear. So anybody that buys camera gear and is kind of into it, whether you're a professional photographer or not, knows that stuff's expensive. And so it becomes addictive after a while. And so that's really what we set out to do. I now can't imagine what else I would buy, which is just astonishing to say. But it was pretty interesting. And one of the reasons why I think it kind of got off as well as it did is, especially at that time and at the shows that I was going to and a part of, the photographers were all pretty much doing the same thing. And it, at least for me, it was uninspiring. And so, you know, I think that there's quite a few other photographers now, you know, various places that are shooting some of these events, and they do a much better job than I remember back in 2010. But I try and go shoot something that's a little bit more creative, and I move around a lot at a show. I'm shooting from different angles, and most of the photographers that I would see were shooting the same shots from straight on, and those are great shots, but I think the really interesting ones have a little bit different perspective put into them, a little bit different composition. They're not just head to toe portrait mode, you know, portrait orientation from straight on center, especially when you look at in bikini. You know, there's only a couple of things to take a picture of in bikini. If you're shooting from the same spot, you got a front pose, you got a back pose. And then now they're doing quarter turns in a lot of events, but there's not a lot to take a picture of unless you're moving around and trying to do something different. I think that really helped get the word of mouth out there. There's a lot of stuff, social media, people would post pictures, and they were different from the shots they were seeing at these other events. And so I think it kind of took off like that. The other thing that I think is helpful is, and I've never experienced this myself, buying photos. I bought photos before at a competition, and I think they took 2 or 3 weeks to get them to me, maybe. I don't remember exactly. But the other thing that we try and do, and we actually I don't know that we've ever taken more than a week to get photos out to competitors to be able to download them. Early on, we used to do it, and it would sometimes be 2 days, sometimes be 3 days. And now we just decided, just to make it consistent, we always have the photos available for download the Friday after the show. And I still don't know of very many. There's a couple out there that get photos out that quick or quicker. I've seen one, actually, they were doing it pretty much same day, which is just mind-boggling to me. But I've heard the horror stories of people that don't get their photos for, you know, months. I can't even imagine what a photographer would be doing for months with a set of photos. The times that I have people reaching out to me, they haven't gotten their photos yet, it's invariably an email snafu, and the emails that I send out sometimes get snapped up by spam mail filters or something. And so, but if anybody's listening, and if you're ever one, if you haven't gotten your photos from me yet, then it's probably because you missed an email. Let me know. But every time we shoot an event, Saturday event, the next Friday, photos are going to be available. So if you don't hear from me certainly by a week after the show, it's probably picked up by a spam filter somewhere.
You know, and I have to actually confirm everything that Scott is saying, because I have ordered competition photos from Liquid Spectrum, and I don't always pre-register to get my photos, which I will go ahead and say this, that if they know they're going to take photos of you, you're probably going to get a wider variety of shots versus, you know, they're doing their best trying to get photos of everyone in the show. So if you don't decide you want to buy photos until after the show, you're still going to get a pretty good selection of shots from my experience. But I think as a general rule of thumb, regardless of who the photographer is, if you let them know ahead of time, you get your paperwork in, they know that you're buying your photos prior to the show, you're probably going to get a little bit more. But what I will say is this last go-around where I bought photos from Liquid Spectrum, and I did so after the show, and there were a couple in particular that I was looking for that I knew that they had gotten, and when I got my download, they weren't there. And so I sent an email, and within 24 hours, I'm pretty sure, I got an email from Scott, and he looked into it. He figured out what the problem was, you know, sent me a revised link for my download, and boom, I had all of my photos. So, you know, thanks for that, and good job on the quick response. So everything he's saying,
awesome.
100% true. I've experienced it myself. So there you go. So nitty gritty that we want to get into.
Let me jump in. Let me jump in real quick on what you were saying with regard to ordering ahead of time. So I definitely push a lot of stuff ahead of time. I want people ordering ahead of time. We've always got a list of people, all the competitors in the show that we get from the promoter. And then we mark down who bought photos for every class. So when they come out, you know, I know who in that class has already ordered photos, and I do pay special attention to make sure I get pictures of those folks. I also know that, and I totally get it, you know, I don't want to pay ahead of time for my photos. I don't know, maybe I'm not going to like them. And so we've done this, I think, ever since we started. And but this last year, I started making this more known. We have our money-back guarantee. So if you pay me ahead of time for photos, and I take a bunch of shots of you, and it just turns out that, you know, you're not happy with the job I did, or I've had people where, you know, they just aren't happy with how they looked that day. Whatever the reason is, it doesn't matter to me. I'll refund your money. I've heard the horror stories of other photographers that won't do that either. And I figure, you know, it's no skin off my back. I'd rather have you have the photos and enjoy them. And if they're not what you're looking for, I'm going to be there anyway. I'm still doing the same amount of work anyway. Whether you're buying them from me or not. So, you know, I just give people their money back on the photos. And that's, you know, honestly, I've been doing this for, I think it's, it's too long. And that's only ever happened like a handful of times, probably five times, I'm guessing, out of the, I don't even know how many shows. I got to believe it's getting close to 100 shows. I'll say that I've shot, I do know this number, it's about 200,000 photos that we have on our website of competitors. So that's an awful lot of photos. So only have given people money back on for like five or six customers, four or five, something like that, during that period of time is pretty good. But I stand behind it. You know, if you pay ahead of time and you're not happy with it, for whatever reason, doesn't matter, I'll give you your money back.
Hey, that's pretty awesome. And that's good to know, because that's something that I wasn't aware of. So thanks for sharing that.
You're not going to ask me for your money back now, are you?
No. I'm happy with my photos. I'm not going to ask back for the money now. I've already shared them a few places. I think that would be a little wrong. But it's good to know. Good to know going forward. So, as I was saying, getting down to the nitty gritty. So, photos, important stuff. We want them. We like them. But what we probably don't have a full grasp of is how to make the most of that opportunity. Because, you know, being an athlete, once you get on stage, or and it's happened to me, sometimes everything that you've been thinking about, working on, especially when it comes to posing, can just fly right out of your head. I don't know if it's the bright lights. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, what just happened? I don't even understand it. I was ready. But so, you know, there's just a lot of stuff going on in your head, I guess, is what I am trying to get to. But to add to that, there are some tricks to make sure that your photos turn out the best as possible. And a lot of that is tied into the posing. And if you can keep these tricks in mind, these tips in mind, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that your overall posing in front of the judges is probably going to be a lot better too. So Scott, kind of share with us from a photographer's perspective of if an athlete wants to make sure or increase their odds of getting really great shots, what are some of the things that they need to keep in mind?
Yeah, so, I mean, it runs the gamut, different categories. So I'll start with bodybuilding. I've competed in bodybuilding, so I kind of get this as well. I think that also gives me a little bit of an advantage in kind of knowing what to look for as I'm watching competitors on stage. My wife competes in bikini, and I compete in bodybuilding. So I've been through plenty of posing practice myself. And with bodybuilding, a lot of the shots that I think are great aren't just the shots when you're finally in the pose, but it's the process of getting into the pose. And if there's something that you're doing that's creative or interesting, you know, giving a little bit of a different chest flex before you bring up your arms into a bicep or something, you know, front double bicep or something along those lines, some of those shots turn out really good. I'll still get the shots when you're in your pose as long as you hold it for long enough. Again, if you ordered ahead of time, I'll be definitely trying to focus on the people that did that, but I'm trying to get pictures of everybody while you're in those poses. So that can be challenging to get up and down the line during, you know, if you're just thinking in your head how long the judges are making these guys hold a pose. If there's five to eight guys in a class, and then getting through all eight of them is challenging once that pose is completed. So I'm trying to get shots as people are getting into the pose as well. The other thing is in bikini, up until this last year, was a lot of shows now are doing quarter turns where it's just half turns. Oftentimes, my brother will do the same thing, is we'll watch the first set of quarter turns or the first set of half turns and see who is on stage that's doing a little bit of something extra with it, something else to take a picture of instead of just the pose. Because I'm at plenty of chances to get you in your front, each of your side poses and your back pose. But if you're doing something in between those in the transitions, you know, chances are I'm going to want to get a few shots of that. And so I would advise people to have, you know, again, with that posing practice and the stage presence, and I think this does translate for the judges as well, just having a little bit of something to go with. And, you know, from the judge's perspective, you probably don't want to do it every time, but from my perspective, you got to do it more than once. If you just do it once, now I'm just waiting for you to do it again. But I'm looking for those things, and before, like I said, in bikini, a lot of times, looking for that for the first set of turns, to see who's going to be doing something interesting to try and focus on them a little bit more to get those shots in the latter turns. Other than that, I mean, the other thing that I think if you're really looking to get photos, I mean, there's a ton of this stuff I could go on and on. Don't skip the presentation round for some of these events where they're letting people opt out. You know, if you want good photos, the time to get the best photos is when you're on stage by yourself. I try and single people out when they're in the judging as well. But, you know, like, you know, if you're on stage with some of these bikini classes I've seen with 10 or more girls in it, it's really hard to single people out, and they're pretty crowded on stage. If you're out there by yourself, that's the best chance. Oftentimes those rounds in a lot of these competitions aren't judged anyway. so you can spend a little bit of time eye contact. I'm not that hard to find down front with a big camera. Eye contact in some of these poses turns out for some pretty sweet photos. But ultimately, you got to have fun, right? It shows for the judges and that stage presentation, but it definitely shows in the camera, too. If you're having fun, that'll definitely come across.
That's a great point, and that's very important. Before we get too much farther, though, I want to say, hey, Kalen, he's joining us.
Hey,
he's
Kalen.
On the show now.
Hey, how's it going?
And I think if I'm correct, is your Facebook profile pic still one that I took, Kalen?
Yes, it is. I'm very proud of that big thing.
Well, you know, and it's fortuitous that you pick that, you bring that up, because Dale, one of our listeners, he has seen a lot of your pictures being used as competitor profile pictures, and he wants to know how that makes you feel.
There's two angles to this. One, when people use one of my pics as their profile pic, or cover photo or whatever it might be, I like that. I encourage people to do that. You know, I feel like if it's one of the pictures that I took of you, then there's nothing better for me to understand how much you appreciate that. Now, the other side of that is when people use a photo that they didn't buy from me, right? It's still got my watermark on it. They screen copied it or something. So I get the advertising from it, I guess. But it's a little bit frustrating. Like, you like it enough to make it your profile pic, but you don't like it enough to pay $12 for an individual photo download from our website. It's like $12. So that's kind of awkward for me. But, you know, it's still out. I'd rather have a competitor have a photo and enjoy it than nothing else. So I appreciate it when people make that, you know, I appreciate it, especially when people buy the photos, but it's kind of a compliment to me when they make that their profile pic. These days, especially, people have a camera on them all the time. They're taking a lot of pictures. You've got a lot of pictures of yourselves if you're in competition. You mentioned gym selfies earlier. And if one of them that I took is the best one that you've got to portray yourself, that's a compliment, big time.
And I will have to say, jump in here real quick, I've asked Kalen before, because he's had that picture up for quite a while, and I'd be like, you know, do you want to switch that up? I mean, he's been in other competitions since then, and he's like, oh, no, all of my Facebook friends, that's the picture they like. They'll be upset if I take it down.
Well, and that was from the Minnesota Mayhem, I believe.
Yes.
So Leaf does a great job putting on a show. I go to a lot of events and using these words differently. Some of them feel a lot like competitions to me, and I think that's great. But Leaf definitely puts on a show at his events. And so with the lighting, when you come out like that, the lighting's everything at his events from a photography standpoint. It's a challenge to work with, but it's a lot more fun for me, and it turns out some pictures that are just stunning. You know, the people make the pictures stunning, but when you add some lighting effects in the background, you know, and smoke and whatnot, it's pretty awesome.
Yes. Well, I have a question, and this is not from any this is from me. And so I don't want anybody feeling like they're under pressure, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. But with what Leaf has been going through, you know, how does that make you feel when you see someone working so hard to basically give the competitors and the audience more and basically have so many speed bumps and roadblocks placed before them to where they're making it harder because they're feeling pressure to match what he's doing, or, you know, either join in and do better or basically try and pull people back and stay the same? As a photographer, how do you feel when the reins are pulled in and you know you can do better?
Yeah, I mean it's frustrating to watch. I mean, I don't want to get too far into like the who said, he said, she said bit. You know, I've heard different things from different people about that. But from my perspective, you know, I really enjoy shooting those events because, like I said, it's challenging, but it's a lot more fun. to shoot those. And what I hope doesn't happen, I know that the P4P undefeated event next August, I'm shooting that one, and I think we've got big expectations for that to be pretty similar. But I hope that more promoters do try and put on more of a show like that and bring more production value to it. And I hope that they don't look at this, the stuff that's going on with Leaf and some of the things he's been through in order to sort of dismiss it, say, well, see, you know, that's not really working out or whatever. Whatever's happening with his events has nothing to do with the production value and the amount of effort that he puts into it. Again, I mentioned this before you got on here at the beginning of the show, that I've worked with, I don't even know how many promoters, but I've worked with promoters in, I don't know, five or six different federations in five or six different states across the Midwest. And, he works harder, or certainly as hard, if not harder, than any of the promoters that I work with, to put on a good show and to make sure that the competitors are getting everything that they need out of it, and that that the sponsors are getting everything they need out of it, et cetera. So I hope that we get more promoters putting that kind of effort in to put on a production. Not to take away from other shows where, because, you know, I actually had a note on this, some of the shows that sort of feel more like just a competition. And I'm sorry to say just a, but I think there's a place for that too. I don't think every show has to be the same. When I first started competing, if they would have made routines optional, I would have opted out. I'm not the kind of guy that wants to get on stage and do a routine. There's not as much confidence there, and so on and so forth. I think in the end, I'm glad that I didn't opt out. But if that would have been an option, I probably would have. I think there's a place for that. I think that, you know, let competitors choose what kind of event they want to be a part of.
True.
And there you go. And that, you know, and I agree with that too. And I, just a quick side note that I'm going to move on. T-walk is not my favorite thing. It is so not. And sometimes I am so tempted to not
You're
do
so
it.
You're so good at it.
But that's
but
debatable.
But here's what
but
I'll say.
At the
here's
end
what I find
of the day, it's important, I think.
Yeah. Here's what I find. I think it's important as well. And as far as building up the confidence so that your stage presence can really shine, if it's not in that show, in the next show, as you get more comfortable being on stage. But here's the interesting thing. I've taken pictures of competitors at shows during the same competition season but at different events. And so the same competitor that I shoot photography and video is actually even more telling, that they do basically the same T-walk from one event to another. And the expression on their face, the sort of confidence that they walk with at Leaf's show with the rest of that stage production around them, is so it appears to be so much better than what it seems like at some of these other events. I have never competed in one of his shows, so I don't know, but it would just seem to me that it's sort of like you've got this whole production crew that's helping you on stage, rather than you've got this big stage, you're all by yourself, and that's much more intimidating. Kaylin and Desiree, have you competed in the Mayhem or one of Leaf shows? Can't remember.
I did compete in the Mayhem last year.
Yeah, so you guys have both done it. Is that right?
Does
that feel like a stage that's just that it almost seems like it would feel like a smaller stage because there's so much going on with you on that stage?
Oh yeah, no,
well,
it's an awesome experience for sure. Yeah, I was just saying it is an awesome experience for sure, and you do feel like you are kind of in a movie set. So I mean, you do kind of take that whole feeling with you, and you don't feel, I don't know, maybe so alone out there. If that's kind of, if the T-walk is not your thing, you feel like you've got more support, even though it's just from the props.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good feeling. Kaylin.
Yeah, well, I would add to that, the biggest thing about it is you feel at home. And anytime you're made to feel comfortable and feel like you belong there, you can be more open and outgoing. Because as long as you're estranged and made to feel like, you know, hurry up and get this done, or feel like a tool or, you know, something being used, it's not so personal. And so it really doesn't have that personal value or the personal like pay that you would willing to put in there. Because, you know, a lot of times when you're supported and you're encouraged, you can be more outgoing because you feel that way. That feeling is there, that atmosphere is there. And as long as you're comfortable, you're willing to do more because you're not worried about any anything that's going to harm you. You don't feel endangered. You don't feel threatened. And when you have that kind of environment and that kind of atmosphere and that kind of support, it's a lot easier to do more, you know, within the guidelines that you're given, because the regulations are set. When you get there, you already know because you're given the package, the competitive package, what's expected, what's not expected, how you can perform, you know, what you're willing to give, what you can put into it. And all of that makes a big, 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 big difference. And, you know, when you have people basically not wanting to wait a year to do the show again, you know you got something right, and you know you did something right, and you know you did something successful that others should want to emulate. And that's why I have such a problem with people basically trying to put the reins in and limit what he's willing to do for the competitors, because now they're actually being treated like competitors. And, you know, I think one of the things that hurts so much is that everybody says they're doing everything for the competitor, and then you have somebody that says, yeah, let's do more. And they're saying, well, hold on. Well, then if it's about the competitor, then it should be about the competitor, and you shouldn't have limits when you're setting up those guidelines if they're within structure and regulation. And
I agree. And like I said, I see a lot of these as a photographer, and I get to relive them all as I go through hours and hours of video. So I actually get to see all these shows at least twice as I go through and edit all of this video. And so I have, from that perspective, I've probably got more experience with these shows than a lot of people, because I don't see them just once, but I see them twice. That whole stage event that he puts on there, and, you know, I've seen some other promoters now putting a little bit more into production value at their events. And so, hopefully that'll continue. And they'll push the boundaries a little bit. So hopefully we'll see more of it.
All right, very good. Well, we always hope so. All right, so
well,
to bring us back around.
Hold on, Dad. Let me finish this out, because there's something, and, you know, this is something I've spoken about in the past, and it was where, like, I remember standing backstage with a promoter that was watching the mayhem, and, you know, he said, I mean, just flat out, I don't think that I'll be able to do another show, like, if he's going to be having shows like this. So it really got me, because I'm thinking, well, then good. You know, because if you're not willing to do the photography, if you're not willing to do the stage presence where those memories, because, you know, everybody says the shows happen so fast, and the video and the photography is all we have as a memory or to share with others that couldn't make it there. And if you're not willing to help those moments last, then maybe they do need to step aside and get out of the way of progress. Because if they're not willing to do more, how do we share it with the world if basically the only people that get to see the images that everybody gets to see is the people that are actually there? Because, you know, there is no complete photography. There is no complete video. There aren't the things that basically naturally and really do a proper enhancement of a show and the competitor. If these things aren't present, how do we make that relevant to everybody we're sharing our life with?
Yep.
All right, cool. Very good. So to bring it back around, just to add back on to Kaylin's point, then, if it is so important to be able to share these moments, these parts of our lives with the world, how are we making the most of those? And a couple of the tips that Scott already shared with us were feel free to add that little extra You know, and especially if you're in a category where you don't have a lot of different poses like bikini, because that can make for some more interesting shots. Do make eye contact. Do take part in the routine or the T-walk if you have a choice. That does give the photographer a lot more opportunity to catch different angles, different poses, different sides of you. But as part of that, Scott, I would also have to think that maybe timing of transitioning of your poses has to be important also. Because I would think if you're moving too quickly, not only does it make it harder for the judges to see you in a specific pose, but it's also got to make it harder for you guys to capture that on film.
Yeah, I think, and I speak, especially in bodybuilding, like when I watch the guys who just, you know, they call that front double bicep, boom, front double bicep, they're in it. Versus, like, if you stand back and watch, I don't want to say all of them, but most pros, there's a process that they're going to go through to get into that front double. As a photographer, I like seeing the whole process. I'll try and get multiple shots during the process, get the pose as well. As a competitor, I'll say that I don't want to get directly into the pose because then I'm going to have to hold it longer. I want to have a process to get into that pose, hit my pose. Oh, that I hear somebody tell me once about that when I was prepping for a show is, you don't want to be the last person still moving because you don't want to seem like, you know, make the judges feel like you're just slow to get into your pose. You don't want to be that guy. But you don't want to be the first one to finish and get into your pose either. You kind of want to be second to last. Have a little bit of a process and get into it. Again, I think that, you know, that's some of the most interesting shots that I think I get are not when people are in that final pose. Like I said at the beginning of this, one of the things that I think got our you know attention early for what we were doing was we weren't just waiting for the people to get into the pose, taking the picture, and moving on. We were doing different angles. We were doing different kinds of things. And one of those things actually is taking shots of people that aren't fully in their pose yet. I think I started trying to curate my favorite shots from the last year kind of bit. And I'm just off the top of my head, I'm guessing half of them are people who aren't currently in a final pose. But they're stunning shots in my opinion.
I think even Kaylin's profile pick. Strongest shot.
I think you were in a pose in that shot. You were just coming out at the beginning of the routine, if I remember that correctly.
And you are absolutely correct.
I think that's a great example. You've had that as your profile pick for quite a while, but that's a great example of that. You're not in a final pose. But the lighting was just right for the way you were standing. This is another thing I should touch on for everybody, bikini girls especially, is, you know, people are told to look at the judges. And so I get looking at the judges, but don't spend all your time looking at the judges. The reason not to spend all your time looking at the judges, depending on the venue, but in a lot of venues, the way the lighting is set up, if your head is tilted down, you're going to get these shadows around your eyes. And your profile pic made me think of this because there's obviously some heavy shadows by design in that particular shot. But when you're standing right up in the front line during pre-judging and you're looking down, you've got these shadows in a lot of events, a lot of venues, right around your eyes. And especially in women, that's not going to look good, right? So keep your head up. You can look down at the judges once in a while, but you keep your head up and get that, make sure you're getting that light across evenly across your face. It's going to be a much better shot. And I remember one show in particular where it was a WNBF show in Wisconsin that the bikini winner, she had her head up. She was standing tall and proud the whole time. It was her first show. She was in like novice and the open. She won novice. She won the open. It was an easy win, and I have to believe part of it was the stage presence and the way she looked on stage, just from standing tall. Not to take anything away from her physique. The physique was right there, too. But her stage presence didn't hurt one bit. But she didn't spend all her time looking at the judges. she was keeping her head up. She was looking out, and the pictures were far and away the best of anybody on that stage that day because of the way that she was standing relative to the lighting and versus all of the other competitors.
Yeah, good point. Dad, can I take this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I love what you bring out, and as Dad had said earlier about posing correctly for the poses, it makes a big difference. And you know, I've said this. You know, there should be a count in your head, and you know, a lot of times when we're out there by ourselves. It runs a little bit faster. Not the ones I was in, that 1,001, 1,002. There should be a clock counting where you have to remember the photographers out there. I mean, there's a lot of things going on stage. Granted, there's so many things, it's easy to get distracted. But, you know, like you were saying, if we've been on stage enough, there should be a calm and a peace that can be out there to remind us, hey, you know, the photographer's out there too, and he's looking for that shot. And if you're rushing through it, he's getting blurred. And if you only do the one, like you said, the one pose, maybe we can get it again, and it'll be better this time. And it just, like I said, there's so many things that this industry is lacking, but it's not always on the other side. And we have to remind ourselves that we are a reflection of the show. And you could be on a poster. Some of your pictures could be used in so many other areas. And like the one Meshack is going to be having, I think Tyann said there's going to be some Canadian magazine that's going to be using it as a cover photo. So, you know, these things are necessary, and they're vital to the improvement of the sport. And it makes the photographer's job so much easier if we can be that majestic person that we're training to be in the gym, and we basically take that persona to the stage. And that's why Dez should not mind that T-wall, because she does work.
Yeah, she does a heck of a job on stage.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Scott, Amy wants to know what makes your shot so alive and creative.
What makes my shots alive and creative? Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. you know, I don't know. I'm gonna go with this. I think it's because I'm a software engineer. So let me finish the thought. So my creative outlet is when I do this stuff on weekends once in a while, and I go take these kind of photos, and so. There's creativity in software engineering, but you can imagine it's not like photography. And so I think it's my chance to sort of do something creative, express myself a little bit. And so with each one of those shots, you know, I'm putting a little bit of something in. I'm looking at, like we were talking about a little bit before the show, you know, when you look at a picture of yourself, you're probably looking at yourself. When I look at a picture that I'm setting up to take, I'm looking at where's the lighting, what am I getting in the background of this shot? There's a lot of that thought that, if you believe it or not, goes into the most of those shots. Looking at how the stage is set up, you know, we're talking about some of Leaf shows. I find myself, I've done this so much now that like most people, they put a SLR up to their face, they close one eye. I don't anymore. I keep both my eyes open. And at Leaf shows especially, that comes in handy because I'm watching the lights. And the lights are moving around, and I'm trying to catch a little bit of lens flare in the shot and hoping that the person on stage is going to be in a good position when I catch that lens flare. So I'm trying to time these things out to the degree possible. What's the best shot when you're in your pose? What's the best shot with this lighting? And so I don't know. I'm actually putting a lot of effort into some of these shots in order to pull something else out of them, and I think that's maybe what the question was about, in bringing something else out of those shots.
Yeah, definitely. I think hopefully, Amy, that answers your question there. We have one from Tina. and she wants to know how valuable the stage pictures are for a competitor's improvement.
Yeah, I don't know. As a competitor myself, I think the stage photography is, you know, it's not completely useless. But I don't, you know, when I'm taking I focus more on trying to get good shots of individuals. I definitely take group photos as well. When you're trying to improve, I think the video is really what you're after. And so one of the things we just started doing is actually it's great that she asked that question, because one of the things we started doing this year, I do video a little different than I think a lot of other do as well. I don't sell a whole show video. I, as a competitor, have never bought one. I have really no interest in buying the video of the entire show to watch the small amount that I was actually on stage. So what I sell to competitors, I call a highlight reel. I try and get clips of that, you know, video from that competitor while they're on stage, their routine. And so each one of those that I put together, and I keep it, and depending on how much you're on stage, they're fairly short by comparison, right? So, you know, if you're in one class, and it's maybe going to be a 5-minute video, but it's really going to focus on just the one competitor. Now, that kind of leaves out the ability to use video to sort of do a comparison. So I've been trying to get sponsors this year, and at every show that I'm shooting this year, I have a sponsor to help me out, and I've been putting all of the prejudging video on our YouTube channel with a sponsor ad at the beginning of it at no cost to competitors. And so it's all HD video. So I think if you want to see and learn and improve during that prejudging section, especially when it matters how you're doing on stage, you know, we're trying to make sure that you get that at no cost up front for you. And those are usually available within 2 weeks of the event, so you can go out and study in full HD glory how you did during prejudging.
That's pretty awesome. Kevin, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the profile pic, because I don't want the listeners to misunderstand why that picture matters so much, because it's not vanity or vain thinking. This is one of those pictures where the photographer caught exactly what I was thinking. And to me, that's incredibly hard to do when I don't know the man and he doesn't know me. It was just so amazing that that moment was exactly how I was feeling, where, okay, it's about to go down, but there's that calm before the storm, and that's exactly what he caught in that picture. And I think that's why it works so well with so many people that follow our pages and, you know, Deb and I as well, is that that picture was exactly where I was at that moment. It wasn't to the right, to the left, too high, or too low. It was dead center. I mean, if he was an archer, he would have hit the bullseye. It was just so amazing to me to see something. And I remember Lee had sent the picture before he had shared it. He said, "You won't believe it," because he and I had had a conversation after, you know, before I had walked out. And so he knew what I said, what I was thinking. And he was like, "He nailed it." And I was like, "Dude, this picture is unreal. It looked like it should have been somebody else. It was so spot on."
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, you it's funny you mentioned how this band do this, that I don't know and he doesn't know me. The number of people that I have as Facebook friends now because I took pictures of them, it's pretty surprising. You know, I've met a lot of people, as I'm sure you guys have, through the sports. Obviously, I have a lot of Facebook friends who I'm friends with, you know, because of competing. But I anymore, I got to believe I know more people, or no, quote, air quotes around that, more people through being a photographer. Somebody I knew the other day who didn't know that I had ever competed, actually. Oh, you're a competitor? Somebody I know through photography. So I think there might be several people that have similar feelings around that, because there is this feeling that they know me and I know them, but really I've only ever taken pictures of them and we've never spoken to one another. In fact, I think this might be the first time we've actually spoken to one another, either of you. And I know I've taken pictures. Desiree's been at several shows that I've taken pictures of. Kaylin, at least at one. I'm not sure how many others there might have been. That one for sure.
Definitely the beauty of social media.
Yeah, it's funny after the shows and when, you know, if you meet somebody off stage and they're almost now already talking to me like they know me, and it's like everybody looks the same at some point during the shows, and usually the connections are made after when I'm editing photos or going through the video, because like I said before, when I'm shooting it, that, you know, the competitor is, you know, I'm watching what they're doing. I don't know how to say it. I'm really not looking at them as much as I'm looking at the picture that I'm taking as a whole.
That makes sense. And just to jump back.
Especially people I know will ask me how they did, because I'm spending so much time looking at the competitors, but I try and express the same thing. I'm really not looking at them like the judges are looking for things totally different than what I'm looking for. So I don't really know how you did while you're on stage. I'd have to review my pictures.
And then review them all collectively together. Tina, real quick, I want to jump back to your question. You wanted to know how valuable the stage pictures are for a competitor's improvement. And Scott had shared that he thought that video was probably the more valuable asset. I think the prints are still very valuable, too, because I happen to look at them for foot placement on posing. You know, I always go into a competition knowing that I want this foot turned out this way, da da da. And most of the time when I look at the photos, it's straight ahead. So that goes to tell me that I've blown off, or I'm not posing exactly the way that I want to pose, or, you know, sometimes my arms have a mind of their own. So, you know, I'm always looking, does my arm look more relaxed, or am I holding it really stiff and far away from my body? You know, am I showing my glute the way that I want to show it? So to me, to compare from show to show, it is important. I also take a look at, you know, what my muscle looks like. Being a bikini girl, obviously I don't have the same size muscle as a figure girl or a bodybuilder, but still we have muscle, and it still needs to look full, and it still needs to look proportionate, the upper body to the lower body, all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, and I take into account how lean did I look, did I not look. So it is important, and it is a good reason to invest in your photos, because really people in the audience, they can snap a lot of photos, but they're probably not getting in as close on you as the show photographer is. So those photos are always going to be better for, you know, evaluation of how you did on that day. And you're going to get a closer look at what the other ladies look like, too. So if you were beat or you came out ahead, you know, what was it about you on that day or them on that day that gave, you know, any one person the edge? And I look at how other people are posing also. You know, I do watch what others do and take into account what seems to look good or what seems to be working for them. So I do think that is important. Yeah. And another thing, too, is that I look at is what is my face doing when I am on stage? We always think that we're smiling, but we're not always smiling. And sometimes we're actually making faces. I was just telling Scott before we came on air, there was one photo in particular that he captured, and I have serious duck lips going on, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking that I made this face? And it was during a tea walk, and you know, you're not always smiling. Sometimes you have different expressions. Sometimes you are mean mugging. Sometimes, you know, it could be a totally goofy expression. And those are the kind of things that you also want to take into account. And I'm gonna try and not do, but you know, who knows? Duck lips, maybe it makes everything better. I don't know, but you know, maybe if I'm feeling brave, I'll post that picture to Midwest Muscle. But I just looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh, Desiree, what on earth was going on?
I tried the same thing, and I realized I don't smile when I compete, and so I tried to smile when I compete, and the photos from that were horrible. I thought they were terrible. I can't pose and smile at the same time. So I gave up on it altogether. And I'm scowly face bodybuilder when I'm on stage. These guys that get on stage and they like, there's no shaking. They're just, and they're having fun and they got a smile on their face. I don't understand how that's physiologically possible, but they look great doing it. Hey, I can't do it.
Well, you know what? Whatever you're comfortable with, you got to go with it. So, last question. I'm going to get this last question in, Kaylin, and I'll turn it over to you for last comments. But Scott, Sam wants to know if you think the more successful that the competitions become, will that drive down the price of purchasing pictures and videos?
That's another interesting one. You know what? I've got it figured out to a. It's pretty much a math problem for me. If there's X number of competitors in the show, I'm going to sell X number of photography packages. We're going to make a little bit from individual sales on the back end, and so I kind of know how it works out. This isn't what I do for a day job, so I am in it to cover my expenses. I'm in it to make a few bucks and buy some more camera gear usually. But I've talked to promoters before about if we could roll the price of photography into the package. So in other words, if 100% of competitors were buying photos, it would just drive the cost way down for packages. So I'm open to, it's one of the reasons why I'm trying to do the video sponsorship and get sponsors to help cover some of my costs and whatnot. So I'm not having to pass that on to competitors. These are all things, and any ideas that other people have about how we can drive the cost down. I think that more successful the shows become, the more people that buy their photos, the lower the prices are going to get for photos, at least from my perspective. It's like $75 for all of your photos, I just do the standard $75 for all your photos. And if you're in multiple classes, I've had people download 100 photos from a show for $75.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a deal. I've had other competitors. Unfortunately, this is just the tough bit of it in different shows. They're only in one class. Maybe it was a small class. They weren't on stage that long. And, they got a quarter as many photos. Again, this is why the routine's so important. Presentation walks the routine, because that's when I know I'm going to be able to get a lot of shots of an individual. But I'm not out there to go and make as much money as I can make. I'm still working with promoters to see if we can drive down those competitors' costs in other ways. Any way I can bring the cost down, I'm willing to do it. And one of the things that I think is different about what I'm trying to do from other photographers and being a competitor myself, these things get expensive. Desiree, you would know more than Kaylin or I how expensive these competitions get from the amount of money that the ladies put into it.
Goodness.
These things are plenty expensive already.
I walk out there naked.
We can bring the cost down in some way. I'm open to it.
After all the stuff women got to put in there, I'd be opting to just get body paint. thanks so much for all the information. Again, compliments to the listeners, you stalkers. But you guys are asking some great questions. I really hats off to that. And thanks for so much for being so open and honest about it. And I'm really happy with, this is real talk and we're actually getting that and not cliched responses. Because, that was the whole concept of real talk. And Dez and I just, we've been so open with our and forthgiving with our lives. It's so nice to know that we're not alone in that ideology, because it's so important in order to have true growth that we do more and just be more natural in how we go about doing things. And I really appreciate you reaching out for sponsorships. So basically, the people that have spent basically everything they had to compete don't have to basically donate a liver or kidney to get the photography and the video to capture that moment, because the shows do go by quick, even though they're hours long. Like you were saying, there's only minutes for the competitor to be out there. And without that memory, you know, we do disconnect sometimes from the joy and the happiness that it, you know, entails in the show, as well as, you know, the audience that gets to relive them as well, and we share them on the social media. So thanks again. Thanks so much. Thanks for, you know, being our guest, because it's very vital and important that people do have a better understanding of what they're getting into from all aspects, not just from my view, not just from Dev's view, and not just from the promoter or the organizational head, but from everybody. And you know, it does make a difference, and we're seeing better shows and seeing better competitors step off stage. So it does make a difference, and thank God for that. Dev?
No, I concur, and I just want to say we'll look forward to seeing you, Scott, and the whole Liquid Spectrum crew on some more shows coming up. One last thing that I also think is very nice about the Liquid Spectrum setup is that he does carry a couple years' worth of archived photos out on their website, and you can still order those for download. So, you know, if for some reason you decide you want your photos from a year ago, even 2 years ago, and he was the photographer at your show, odds are still pretty good you're going to be able to download those. So I think that's pretty awesome as well, especially when you're looking to, you know, track your progression and see how you looked from show to show. So just one last little plug in there. And, yeah, just thanks, Scott.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Yeah, we'll see you at some shows. We got a string of them coming up again this fall. One new one for us. We're going to be at the IPE Worlds this fall in Kansas City. So that's a new late addition this year. So that's going to be pretty
exciting.
We'll be taking
pictures
there. Love shooting some of those guys.
Awesome. Awesome. So on behalf of Scott, Liquid Spectrum, myself, Kaylin, and the boys at P4P Real Talk, your body is a temple, so let's build it.